ॐ अज्ञानतिमरन्धस्य ज्ञानशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयं ददाति स्वापरन्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सग्रजातं सहगनरवनसंवितं तं सजीवं सद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनाश्रयितं कृष्णाचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदं सहगनललिता श्रीविशाखन्वितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणसिन्धौ दीनबन्धौ जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिककुञ्च राधकञ्च नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकंसन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी विषभानुसुतदेवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च सकृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो निचनन्द श्रीअद्वैतगराज श्रीवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Today I was studying the verse, the third verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Nigamagalpataru Galitam Phalam, Sukamukat Amritadravasam Yutam, Vivata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam, Muhur Aho Rasika Bhuvi Vafukaha. This verse is very nice because it describes the desire tree. It describes the desire tree of Vedic literature. And it is said that on this desire tree of Vedic literature, there are many fruits. Naturally, there are the fruits of Dharma, of pious religious activities. And the result is good karma, and thus there is economic development, artha. Everything becomes auspicious in the world, and the Supreme Lord begins to supply everything in abundance. Just as during the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, there was just opulence everywhere. Natural fruits, clothes, herbs, jewels, and metals, and all these things easily available. Artha, economic development. Then, naturally, there is enjoyment, kama. So enjoyment also, but of course, ultimately enjoyment in this world is not the goal of life. Thus, Vedic culture also offers moksha, or liberation. And these are known as the chaturvarga. Those are the fruits. And most people who are interested in the Vedic desire tree are interested in those four fruits. But sometimes someone is interested in the special fruit that grows on the Vedic tree. That is the Bhagavat, the fruit of the Bhagavat. It is said this fruit is the greatest treasure, because this fruit is the essence of all the Vedic literature. It is carefully handed down in the tree. First, from Lord Brahma, it is carefully handed down to Narada. From Narada to Vyas. And from Vyas to Sukadev. It is said that Sukha, the parrot Sukha, with his beak was cutting the fruit so that the sweetness became even more available. He made an opening. And still, it was contained. It said it became even sweeter then. And from Sukadev, it carried on to Suta Goswami, and from Suta Goswami to so many others. And in this way, the pure and ripened fruit of transcendental knowledge is coming down in the cyclic succession in an unaltered way. It is also here today, that very same ripened fruit, the essence of all the Vedic literature, is here today. And this fruit is very wonderful. It is very wonderful. It is that how to take it. Pivata bhagavatam rasamalayam. It says one must drink it. It is said further in the Bhagavatam, it even says drinking through the ears. How to drink through the ears? It can be done in spiritual. In spiritual life, the senses are interchangeable, so that can be done. We drink the Bhagavatam through the ears, and then it is said, "Pibata Bhagavatam rasam." One must drink the juice, the rasam, alayam, rasam alayam. This, the word alayam, it said laya, is referring to the five types of liberation that one can attain. Sayuja, one can merge with the Lord. Vaishnava is not interested. Sarupya, Salokya, Samipya, Sarasti, one can get a form similar to the Lord. One can reside in the same abode as the Lord. One can have the same opulence of the Lord. One can be in the association of the Lord. All these things one can attain. But no, it is rasam alayam. It is not that. It is not that which is to be attained by taking this fruit. It is rasam alayam. It goes beyond that. It is said by tasting this fruit, it said one must taste it again and again, muhur, continuously. Continuously one must taste it. Yes. It said the word alayam, it can mean more. It means more than liberation. It means also pralaya, which is the eighth of the sattvika bhavas. The sattvika bhavas are the transformations that manifest in the body of a devotee who is overwhelmed by love of God. And the eighth one of the sattvika bhavas is that one faints. Therefore it is said that one must hear the Bhagavatam until one faints. Right? Not from exhaustion and from fasting and but simply from drinking this nectar until one faints. But then it says, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur explains, when you faint it, then you can no longer hear the Bhagavatam. It says, but then when you return to your consciousness, then you do it again, until you faint again. So then each time when you continue hearing, the taste increases. So this is actually the purpose of this initiation. To bring us to the point where we hear and chant, to the point where we faint. That's really the initiation. That's what it's all about. We are teaching you the art of fainting. the art of becoming totally overwhelmed. So the devotee becomes completely captured by Krishna. In hearing about him, in chanting the holy name. And as I said, in this way, one will attain Krishna prema. And that's the idea, and nothing less. Although the vows are kind of basic, the vows are sort of only asking for not so much, a few principles, a few routes. There's a nice verse of Rupa Goswami. I don't know the Sanskrit, but I came across it the other day when I stayed in someone's flat, and it was pinned on the notice board. So I didn't completely memorize it, but I'm paraphrasing it as much as I remember it. It was describing that it said, although My Lord, you are certainly the greatest personality and I am insignificant. Although you have all opulence and I am merely a beggar. Although you are the Supreme Lord and I am completely dependent. Although all greatness is in you and you are fully self-satisfied in your pastimes, you really have no need to bother with an insignificant personality like me. An insignificant person like me, who sometimes chants the holy name, right? But still I pray that you be merciful unto me. So I especially like this thing where Rupa Goswami is saying that he sometimes chants the holy name. That's us. I could really recognize myself in there as someone who sometimes chants the holy name. So off and on, so to speak. So that's our position. So we are not very great devotees, actually. We are not very powerful. We are not going to conquer Krishna by our devotional service. Then we'll be going up, and then after a while, we have to come back down. That is the nature of if we try to do it on our own strength. But Krishna can pull us up, and that is really what we depend on. So we just try. The essence of spiritual life is to take shelter. That we are not strong, that is a fact. Taking vows is a very difficult thing, because such vows, they have to remain standing. It's not so easy. You can put a wooden post in the sand, and in the beginning it stands very nicely, but then there is wind, day after day, sometimes storm, and it's moving, and gradually it becomes a little loose in the ground. And then, yes, time will also have its effect, and so on. So for that post, sort of a wooden pole to remain standing, it needs support. If we anchor it with different wires, then it stands more solid. So in the same way, vows must be anchored. They must be supported. Sometimes the question is asked, how do you know? How do you really know that you can follow these four regulated principles for your whole life? You're about to promise it, but are you sure you can make it? How are you so sure? Life comes with surprises. We can change a lot with time, and those who are strong today maybe may find themselves in totally different circumstances and quite weak. How to continue? Thus we know that we have no chance. We have no chance to make such vows. No chance. But only with the help of Krishna and with the support of Krishna can it be done. Therefore, the vows are always accompanied by activities that are there for our support. We need to engage in these activities for our support. Then we can do it. So, thus we need good hearing. We need to stay in contact with Srimad Bhagavatam. We need to be in contact with the devotees. We need to always search out the deities and render service to them. Become attached to them and go and travel far to visit them in their temple. I think this is one of the nice qualities of the people of India, that they are ready to really make a long journey for a darshan. They are ready to climb hills, like Tirupati, so many steps, to stand for hours and hours, for days, in a queue. And then in Tirupati, you finally, after, at the end, you know, they let you in the temple. And there's this huge big drum. It's bigger than this circle here. And there's this man with two sticks, boom, boom, beating that drum. And on the rhythm of the drum, the crowd is walking. And you come finally to the last portion where you get a darshan of the Lord, of Lord Balaji. And people push you and they pull you away. And altogether, it's about 15 seconds of darshan. And for that, 15 hours in the queue and like climbing up the hill. Anyone, a lot of Westerners would say, oh well, you know, I'll watch it on the internet, you know. It's like, that tendency might be there, but no. People of India are so fired up, they want that mercy. So this is very nice. This is a good quality. We need that quality also. We need to have this eagerness to always come to the temple, even when it's a little troublesome. Because there is special mercy, anytime. Then the other very important aspect is the association of devotees. Devotees, that will save us. Devotees, where there are devotees, there is devotional service. Devotees, they'll give us, they'll engage us somehow or other in devotional service. So we must always associate with the devotees. Now, in the association of devotees, there are two aspects. One is that you get inspiration in the association of devotees, and the other one is you get purification in the association of devotees. Sometimes we think it's only inspiration, but it's not exactly that. Sometimes it's tough to be in the association of devotees. Sometimes it's intense to be in the association of devotees. But no matter what happens, whether they treat us friendly or not, we stay in the association of devotees. If they throw us out the gates, then we just sit down in front of the gates, right? And start sweeping in front of the gate until one day they say, all right, okay, come back in. We can't just go away. That's not possible. We can never leave the devotees, no matter what they do. That's a test. But we must. Because these things, association of devotees, worship, taking shelter of the deity, taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, these things can very quickly give us love of God. There is still one more thing which is mentioned, which is the holy Dham. Yes, the holy Dham is an amazing gift of Krishna. One day Krishna was thinking to himself, he was thinking that all these jivas, they have left me. How can I just be fully absorbed in my transcendental pleasure pastimes, knowing that there are some of my dear, beloved associates who are residing in the material world, covered over? How can I forget them? So I have to give them some mercy. But Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and he is very generous. His generosity by far exceeds the generosity of anyone and everyone. Like we imagine, there would be a devotee who would have left the temple and would be really fallen and live outside, and we would think, yeah, we should give this guy some mercy, and you know, and sometimes you see him in the street walking by and you call him over and you say, hey Prabhu, wait, and you bring him a plate of prasadam and you feel really good, I gave you some mercy. Yes, but when Krishna gets into this mood of giving mercy, he doesn't leave it at one plate or at one drop. Krishna was thinking, I must give them the mercy also. He said, yes. Then he had a brilliant idea. A brilliant idea. He thought to himself, let me arrange that the whole spiritual world is present in the material world. Only Krishna can do that. We know he can put elephants to the eye of a needle. So why not put the spiritual world, which is bigger, into the smaller material world? He can do that. So he just put the whole spiritual world in the material world. That's amazing. What a gift he gave us. Huh? Yes, and we say, oh, it's so far. Oh, gosh, it's so expensive. Oh, dear, it's so hot over there. And where am I going to stay? And it's like, they don't even have carpet on the floor. It's rough, like anything. So, like this, we think of so many things, so many obstacles. But this holy dham is essential. It is said, we depend also on the mercy of this holy dham. Because there's one reason why I'm sitting here today in this particular service, then I have to say that the holy dham played a huge part. Because somehow or other, I came to the holy dham before I knew anything about Krishna. Somehow or other, as a tourist in India, I stumbled over the holy dham. And it impressed me so much that I felt drawn back, and then I had the good fortune of staying there a long time, which is such a blessing. Thus, I want to impress it upon your heart that please go. Go whenever the opportunity arises and take shelter. And realize that the holy dham, that's home, and anywhere else in the world we are visiting. Here we are visitors, tourists in Australia. But home, where do you live? Vrindavan. For many years, they used to have, in the Dutch passport, they had place of residence. And I always had in there Vrindavan. I kept it for many years, Vrindavan, at place of residence. Now they don't put it anymore, but my place of residence is still Vrindavan. Mayapur, non-different, same. So, these five aspects are the essence of our spiritual life. The Holy Dham, association of devotees, Srimad Bhagavatam, worship of the deity, and the most important, the chanting of the holy name. These are the five most essential aspects of devotional service. And practically, if we're always engaged in one of those five, then we will be protected in our spiritual life. So we must cultivate attachment for these activities by regularly engaging in them. We get a taste, but then if we neglect it for a while, then again we lose the taste. So we must always again and again endeavor. The devotees are talking about how spiritual life goes up and down, and it does, but whenever we are down, no matter how down you go, after that one must go back up. It's as simple as that. So this is, of course we shouldn't go down below our vows, but even if that would happen by accident, then get back up and start again. This is the way to carry on in devotional service. So the chanting of Hare Krishna is said very nice because it is unique in all the Vedic literatures. The Vedic literatures, they offer us so many different activities for purification. yagya danas tapaschaiva, yagya danam tapaschaiva, bhavaninam manisina. Even great saintly personalities are being purified by performing sacrifice, by giving in charity, and by performing austerity.
Yes.
Yes, all these processes are purifying us. But bhakti is more. Huh? Bhakti is more. Bhakti is more than a process. It is also the goal. The chanting of Hare Krishna is so powerful, it is not just sadhana, it is also sadhya, it is also the goal. Or as Prabhupada said, what do you get from chanting Hare Krishna? More chanting of Hare Krishna. That's your great fortune. So you're very lucky. From all this chanting, what you're going to get is more chanting. So today, on this appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we see that he followed the same vow that Haridas Thakur had followed, to chant a billion names, and that meant that for 10 years he was chanting 300,000 names of the Lord every day. That of course is impossible for us, but it is a fact that we must try to take shelter of the holy name, either by chanting the holy name or we are serving the holy name. Serving the holy name, this movement is the Hare Krishna movement, and it's all about the holy name. So doing devotional service in this movement, running around all day, is also serving the holy name. So I know you are good at running around. Just before the yagya, I saw you running around, and said, I hope if she's gonna be here, you know, like everybody just running here and there. So run around for Krishna. This is a very nice quality. So now in the chanting of the holy name, there are of course these 10 offenses to be avoided, and they are mentioned oftentimes at this time of initiation because the essence is there. I may not rattle them off because here in Australia they do that every day. First comes against our name, last one right, then again, last meeting, God, and then name, second hand. Yeah, okay, so I'll give that a miss, right? But basically, the idea is that the 10 offenses to be avoided are certainly important, because it is that what holds us back. Not the material desires, not our material conditioning. That is already gone. Consider them already defeated. Consider them already gone. That's not our problem. If you think that you're having a problem with material desires, then you make a mistake. It's not that you have a problem with material desires, you have a problem in making offenses. And that's why the material desires don't go away. That's why. See? So we have a problem with making these 10 offenses, and therefore these material desires don't go. But if we overcome these offenses, then the material desires will burn up very quick in the process of devotional service. So we must be very careful. So number one, I'll mention not to blaspheme the devotees, because that one's difficult. It's sort of, my mother used to tell me a fairy tale, and I like to tell this story, about two princesses, and one, when she opened her mouth, only roses would come out. The other one, whenever she would open her mouth, frogs would jump out. Now, in our case, even when we try to speak only roses, rose, 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 then sometimes the inadvertent frog jumps out. Boing, ugly as it is, right there, and we've said it. Oops. I shouldn't have said that. Right? What to do now? So, when that happens, we can apologize. Not a problem. We can say, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I have a bit of a frog problem sometimes. What to do? So one must... The thing about these 10 offenses is that it's not that we should just be on guard, that we don't do it. Right? Okay, I must avoid the 10 offenses and now I'm on guard trying to not commit the 10 offenses. No, it is rather our second nature. Our normal behavior consists of the 10 offenses. That's what we do. Right? From the moment we wake up in the morning, you wake up because your neighbor is chanting too loud, this guy. It's just a reflex, So gradually we have to learn to develop something else. Some years ago there was a little booklet going around, a management book, which was called A 1 Minute Manager, and I thought it was not that good a book, but there was one good thing in the book. And that was that this manager was an unusual manager, because usually managers, don't know if you've noticed, but managers spent their time catching people doing something wrong. How many times do I have to tell you? Are you ever going to get it, you know? Is it finally going to get through there or what, you know? You did it again. You blew it. That's what most managers do, right? Are you ever going to learn? Is there anybody here who can do anything right? Lots of managers have this, but this manager was different. This manager was spending his time trying to catch people doing something right. Wasn't easy. But anyway, he was sort of waiting and waiting, and finally they did something right, and he said, oh yes, really nice, you did that right, that was really good. Yeah. So they used it as a tactic, as a technique to manipulate people. But when I read it, I liked it, because I was thinking, this is our culture, this is us. Adosadarsi, to not see any faults in anyone and to just catch devotees doing something right. So this is nice. This is a very nice meditation, to always try and see the good qualities in the devotees. So we must be quite careful in avoiding the 10 offenses, but it's not our first meditation that I should not commit offenses, I should not commit offenses, I'm so afraid of committing offenses. If only I can avoid the offenses, and so on, and that you just think offenses, 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 and so offenses. That's too much. No, we are concentrating on the positive. Let me try to avoid these offenses, but let me focus on serving Krishna and the devotees. Glorifying Krishna, glorifying the devotees. On Nityananda's appearance day, I was remembering Lord Nityananda, as everyone, and one point that I was thinking about it is that Lord Nityananda, he is the menial servant of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Nityananda is he serves him in so many ways, his bed, his shoes, he even becomes the holy dhamma, anything that Lord Chaitanya needs, the Lord needs, Lord Nityananda becomes that. Also he expands himself, he becomes Mahavishnu, he becomes Garbhadaksaya Vishnu, Ksiradaksaya Vishnu, he expands himself like that in so many ways. So Lord Nityananda always serves as a menial servant. Then Lord Nityananda, he was sent by Lord Chaitanya from Puri to Bengal to preach. And he was the first Sankirtan devotee, right, who would go door to door and ask people to preach. And Jagai and Madai didn't like it so much, and this Madai smashed him on the head, and still Nityananda kept on preaching. So he was very determined to preach and ready to do anything for that. Haridas Thakur was his Sankirtan partner, and So it's like, it was tough, you know. Why did Nityananda have to preach to those drunks who then chased him and tried to kill him, and Nityananda ran away real fast, but Haridas was old. So he was like huffing and puffing and saying, I'm never going to go out again with Nityananda. This is too much. But Nityananda was the original Sankirtan devotee. Yeah? Yeah. So we must also be a Sankirtan devotee. At least try to be. Because it's hard, because you come in a parampara of one who will never become a Sankirtan devotee. What to do? Anyway, we try. We keep on trying to be a Sankirtan devotee. Even if you're not a great Sankirtan devotee, still you must try to be a Sankirtan devotee. Always. Yes. And finally, it is said that Lord Nityananda is also Ananta. Ananta says, and Ananta says is that form of the serpent with so many hoods, and in that form with all these unlimited mouths, he's glorifying Krishna non-stop. Thus it says that the mouth of Ananta is the jewel case for glorification of the Lord. So Nityananda is Adiguru, the original spiritual master. We are trying to represent Lord Nityananda, and this whole initiation depends on Lord Nityananda. It depends very much on him. What are we going to do without the mercy of Lord Nityananda? We're not going to make it. A whole life is a long time. It's a long time, you know. It's like to last, right? To last. And we see that so many, you know, so many have sort of drifted away a little bit. Of course, you cannot leave Krishna. Krishna never leaves you. Therefore, if one tries to give up Krishna, it doesn't work. In Europe, there was a devotee. He decided to give up Krishna consciousness, and then for years, he tried, and then he published a book, and the title of the book was God, a Blue Boy with a question mark, yeah? And that was after years after he had left. And then one day I met him in the street, and I told him, I said, just see. See how powerful it is. You couldn't forget Krishna. You still had to write a book about him. That's how it is. You know, just rub it in a little. Because it is like that. You cannot just forget Krishna. So therefore, at the end of the day, there is no other option than to be a devotee. No other option. It's too late now. Yeah, we're already captured. There's only two options. One is to be a happy devotee, and the other one is to be an unhappy devotee. So if you have to be a devotee, you may as well be a happy devotee. Yeah? So follow in the footsteps of Lord Nityananda. Always render menial service. Always get into that mood of being a Sankirtan devotee and pass on the mercy. And always glorify the Lord and His devotees, and then Lord Nityananda will be attracted to shower His mercy upon you. And then suddenly spiritual life gets inspiring, and then suddenly you feel, oh, it's so easy, and it's so much nectar, and I like it so much. Simple. And Lord Nityananda showers His mercy. Suddenly we're flying in spiritual life instead of walking with mud on our boots, you know. Again, 16 rounds. I just finished them at midnight. Yeah, it makes a difference. Today, because there were initiations, I wanted to prepare, so I saw it last night. No, I'll stay home, I'll go to bed early. I got up early, and then I chanted 16 rounds before Mangalarti, and it was really nice. I don't know if the devotees next door thought it was so nice, but I try to do it very softly. Only a few times I forgot. Krishna, Krishna! Never stay next to a Swami again. Yes, and then after reading Bhagavatam, and it was such a nice day in this way, a very nice day. So I pray that you also may always return to that. I cannot always maintain that platform, but I always return to that, you know, to rising as early as possible, and then chant early, and then read early, and have oceans of time and for spiritual things. So nice. Yeah, so these lectures, these initiation lectures, are like are actually all about blessings. That's the whole idea. We try and pack them up with the blessings as much as we can, as quick as possible. Pull them off the shelf wherever we have them and stick them in as well. So now it's not only my blessings. I think I have to stop giving blessings because our pujari or our priest has to go. He does more than one yavya a day, so so a yavya a day keeps the doctor away, and you do a couple, you know. Yes, that you got that under your belt, right? So he's ready for it. Thus, he wants to make a fire, something very controversial in Australia right now, but we're gonna do it. Yeah? May Krishna protect us and the neighbors. But very important is the blessings. So today, on this appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his blessings are especially present. So it's very nice to do it on this day, because you get special blessings here. So may you get the taste for chanting the holy name from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then all the other acharyas are being invoked there. May you all get inspiration from them. May you get the same absorption that they had, that they have in devotional service. So all these blessings are there. Then we have all these devotees here. All these devotees are here, and we want their blessings also, right? And of course, we ask them to think kindly and to sort of bless. They can, even those who are not initiated can bless, because anybody who's chanted Hare Krishna once is counted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a Vaishnava. And I think everybody has chanted it once. Is there anyone who's never chanted Hare Krishna once? If not, then just do it now. Come on. Just say it once. Come on. So let's all bless. And in order to make these blessings more substantial, because Bhakti Lovla is always running around, she was running around so much that she never got round to giving me the beads until the last moment. No problem at all. I think it's a special arrangement, because now we can chant on them all together. That one round japa, right? So those who didn't chant yet today, at least they're going to chant one round now, and it's going to be a long and slow one. And so we chant it all together, and in this way, the beats, we're going to bless them all together. So they get extra blessings again. And Srila Prabhupada, in the early days, in the 60s, when he was initiating, used to do it also. In every yavya, he was chanting on the beats in the yavya. Only later did he start to chant on the beats separately in his room. But in the beginning, on the yavya, during the yavya. So this is the original thing. Okay. So, and before, of course, we chanted the Panchatattva mantra, or the Panchatattva mantra, just because if one chants the name of the Panchatattva, name, then one takes some ecstasy, and then offenses are relieved, and then get some taste in the chanting. So let's do it. Everybody ready? Yes, son, good son brings his father the beat bag. Son, go run to the car quick and go get my beats. Yes, Dad. All right. Good boy. Yeah. Ready? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So then, we can carry on. You can first pay your obeisances to me here, and speak Pranam mantras out loud.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasanna Dikai Guru Dasya Jaita Swami Nismani Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasanna Dikai Vishnati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nismani Nama Sri Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Satyai Guru Vishesha Srinya Vaidika Satya
Dasya. Thank you very much. I'll put this on the board. So what are the four regulative principles that you promise to follow for the rest of your life?
No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication.
Mm-hmm. Can you specify the meat eating a little more?
Meat eating involves anything that has to do with animal products, like including gelatin and eggs.
Srila Prabhupada used to say, he used to make the devotees say, no meat, fish or eggs.
No meat, fish or eggs.
Yeah, so I make them also say that.
Okay. No meat, fish or eggs.
Yeah. And then, what is the minimum number of rounds that you promise to chant every day?
A minimum of 16 rounds.
Very good. So when it comes to names, giving names, I find it very difficult because it has to sort of, it has to do with inspiration. So, especially this time, I had such a hard time. And I tried all the L's. And then I said, oh well, yeah, I tried all the leelas, I tried all the, yeah, I tried them all, and then I went beyond the L, and I went all over the universe once I started that, and in the end I narrowed it down, and then, well, I'm still inspired by Nityananda. Yeah. So I'm choosing that name of Nityananda. See these qualities that I was referring to earlier. Being the menial servant, always a Sankirtan devotee, and always glorifying the Supreme Lord and his devotees. And that is so nice, you know. These are like jewels, right? These are jewels. So, therefore, I was remembering a song of Lochan Das Thakur, which is called Nitai Gunamai Mani, Nitai Gunamani. But then I thought, that's not good for a Mataji, because then they're all going to call her Nitai, you know? So that's not going to work. So I turn it around a little to make it work, you know? So it's Gunamani Nitai. There you go. There you go. Gunamani Nitai. Yes, and then you can offer obeisances to Srila Prabhupada also. So guna means qualities, and mani is jewel. So Nitai's qualities are like jewels. So, Gunamani Nijai. short Gunamani. And sometimes when you're particularly when it looks like you're under the influence of the most, then they might call you Guna as well. Hare Krishna. But I'll call you Gunamani, at least. Hare Krishna.